Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 19, 2024, Romans.
All right, a couple of things before we get started. We have a couple of birthdays. First of all, Melissa's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday to Melissa. We are so blessed to have the Filipino Guam connection here in Upland Bible Church. And Big Jerry, but I don't know if that's, we've got to quit calling him Big Jerry. I think his son is Big Jerry. We'll have to call him Old Jerry, I guess. And his birthday is today. Happy birthday to Jerry. He's teaching the little people back here. So, and Vacation Bible School is coming up June 24th to 28th. And these flyers are available out here. These are for you to take and to give to friends, neighbors, anybody that you would like to give to them. Let them know that we have Vacation Bible School, and we already have a bunch of youngsters signed up, and it's a great opportunity for evangelism in Southern Nevada. So these are available. Take as many as you want. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Almost the entire chapter in chapter 7 is devoted to the old sin nature. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 7. From verse 7 to the end of the chapter, verse 25, we have the problem of the old sin nature that indwells each one of us. And in the first part of that section, verses 7 to 14, we have the marriage counselor of our first marriage, from physical birth to salvation. We have a husband. That husband is the old sin nature. We, as the unbeliever, are his wife, and there is a marriage counselor for us as unbelievers, and that marriage counselor is the Mosaic Law. So Romans 7, a great chapter devoted to the old sin nature, indwelling every member of the human race, and also presenting the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor while we are unbelievers. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 7. Therefore, what are we to say? Or, what are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic law sinful? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature except through the Mosaic law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, if the Mosaic law had not said, you shall not lust, the 10th commandment. And then verse 8. But the sin nature, having seized the opportunity by means of the commandment, the 10th commandment, you shall not lust, produced in me every category of lust. For apart from the Mosaic law, the sin nature with its lust patterns is unknown, not perceptible. Paul discovered the lust patterns in the sin nature through the Mosaic law, specifically the 10th commandment, Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not lust. The Mosaic law, by prohibiting lust, was an honorable marriage counselor. The first husband, the sin nature, by demanding lust, was an evil husband. The phrase, every category of lust, refers to the lust patterns of the sin nature. We all have a sin nature, and we all have those lust patterns of the sin nature. The Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, says to the unbeliever, stop lusting, do not lust. But the first husband, the sin nature, says to us, hey, lust every way you can. The Mosaic law commands us to cease and desist from lust. But the first husband, the sin nature, says, lust, lust, and keep on lusting. The Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, says, you have a very bad marriage, because lust is wrong. The 10th commandment of the Mosaic law caused mankind to become cognizant of the problem of the sin nature with its lust patterns. Thanks to the Mosaic law, the 10th commandment, we know that we have a problem. And you can't solve a problem until you are aware that you have a problem. There's nothing wrong with the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law. However, there is everything wrong with the first husband, the sin nature, with its lust patterns. Paul discovered that his spiritual death came from within him, the sin nature dwelling inside his body. Now, most people are totally unaware of what happened at physical birth. Well, you realize that you were born and you're physically alive. You got that one down. But you don't realize that you were born spiritually dead, and that we are married to the sin nature with its lust patterns. The Mosaic law is limited in counseling the first marriage because its content deals with the sin nature and its lust patterns. Codex number one, you have a bad marriage. But the Mosaic law also presents the solution, codex number two, in shadow Christology and soteriology, the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic law, and the marriage counselor of the second marriage, salvation, where we have a second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the wife is the believer, and now the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. So the marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic Law, and the marriage counselor of the second marriage, our marriage to Jesus Christ, is God the Holy Spirit, after faith in Jesus Christ. And both marriage counselors are perfect. The first marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law, is from God and perfect. And the second marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit, is God and perfect. All right, well, we continue, and we got the whole chapter where Paul defines the sin nature inside and out. Romans 7, verse 9. For I was alive apart from the law once. Now, the King James, and I think Debbie would say, you know, I read that, and I didn't have a clue what was being said there. And then you exegeted and went through all this, and it made perfect sense. Well, great. Then I did my job as a pastor to explain to you what God the Holy Spirit put down here. But, for I was alive apart from the law once. Does that really turn you on right there? This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the personal pronoun ego plus the imperfect active indicative of zao plus the improper preposition. I hate that improper preposition. Kores with the genitive singular of namas, plus the enclitic particle potea. The postpositive conjunction de is a transitional use of de. We're going to have it used as a contrast later. But here we have a transitional de, de. And the transitional de can be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We'll translate it now. And then the personal pronoun ego, I, referring to the Apostle Paul. And then the verb zao, which means to live. The imperfect tense is strong linear action start in past time. And then the adverb kores. It's an adverb used as an improper preposition. Kores. C-H-long-O-R-I-S, kores. And kores means without or apart from. And we'll translate it apart from. And then the object of the improper preposition is namas, that's the Mosaic Law, along with the enclitic particle pota. P-O-T-E. Enclitic particle pota. Now this particle is may be translated sometime in the past, or once, or formerly, or at one time. And we will translate it at one time. So we have now, at one time, I lived apart from the law, that is, in ignorance of the purpose of the Mosaic Law. You got that? Beautiful in the Greek. It's ugly in the King James. It may be even ugly in your translation you have there. Now, at one time, I lived apart from the law in ignorance of the purpose of the Mosaic Law. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he is looking at himself as an unbeliever. And as an unbeliever, Saul of Tarsus, he was very, very religious. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, even though most of them were unbelievers, they did know the Mosaic Law inside and out. And maybe you didn't know this, But a Pharisee had to memorize the entire Mosaic law. They, in the Hebrew, they memorized the Mosaic law. So they knew it, they memorized it. So, one, at physical birth, Paul was physically alive, and human life was imputed to the divinely prepared soul. He was born physically alive. He recognized that. Two, Paul was aware of his life, but he was ignorant of his spiritual death. Paul was aware of his life, but he was ignorant of his spiritual death. And this is true for all of us as unbelievers. You come into the world, you're alive, physically alive. You have no idea that you are in the status of spiritual death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To live with God forever, you have to have the righteousness of God. You have to be as good as God is. And the only way you can have the righteousness of God is through faith, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. I was an unbeliever. I had no idea. I was spiritually dead. And I was an unbeliever all the way until my last year of high school. And I went to a young life camp because my football coach asked me to go there. He said, Dick, it'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. He didn't tell me that they were going to, he didn't tell me it was a Christian camp. He didn't tell me they were going to be talking about God and the Bible. If he had, I wouldn't have gone. He probably knew that. He said, it'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. He said, you can get to go fishing, golf, all this up in British Columbia. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. I said, well, it sounds pretty good. So I go, and I'm an unbeliever. I don't even know I got a problem. And then I got there, and the first night, guy got up and started talking about God and the Bible. I got so damn mad. Can't believe my football coach would trick me into coming to a place that had talking about God and the Bible. Boy, the next day I went out and I was out on the golf course and people hit their ball in my fairway. I threw it in the ocean. I caused as much problems as I could create. And I could be pretty good at that. And then that night, the fella got up. He said, before you can ever come to know Christ as your Savior, you have to realize that you got a problem. The Bible says that we all have a problem. Yeah. That's what the Apostle Paul is writing about. He discovered that from the Mosaic Law. And this fellow turned to Galatians 5, 19 to 21 and started describing what the sin nature produces. In verses 19 to 21, went through all these sins that the sin nature produces. And in that last 24 hours, I committed every one of them except for fornication. I didn't have enough time, I guess, to do that one. And then I thought, somebody tattled on me. Then I got even more mad. Somebody tattled on me. First of all, you got to realize that you have a problem. That's what the Apostle Paul had to realize. He had to realize he had a problem, a sin nature. He was spiritually dead. And then he said, now let me explain to you in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 what God is like. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And as I sat there, that's what I wanted my life to be. I wanted my life to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. But it wasn't. And then he said, now, first you have to realize you have a problem. And then the solution to the problem is that Jesus Christ on the cross paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And therefore, if you simply believe in Jesus Christ, he gives you the gift of eternal life, and he comes to live inside of you, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you and produces in you and through you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the first time I realized I had a problem, and the solution to the problem, and I believe in Christ right there. And I mean, I believed in Jesus Christ as soon as he explained the gospel. But when I got back to my cabin and got up into my upper bunk, I got my butt up in the air and my head down the pillow, and I prayed again and again and again. I believe in Jesus Christ. 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 I wanted to make sure God got the message. I was saved before I ever got there because I listened to the gospel. He explained that I had a problem and I knew it. After the last 24 hours, it was all I was doing was demonstrating that I was a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. I was spiritually dead. I was totally depraved. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all my sins. That's the same thing that Paul realized. That's what every unbeliever has to realize. That we have a problem. We are spiritually dead. And then realize that Jesus Christ is the solution. By his salvation work on the cross, he paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world once and for all. And through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you can have the gift of eternal life. Well, that's what Paul is putting down here. Of course, Paul is a genius. Maybe the greatest mind ever to live on planet Earth. And he is writing, now at one time I lived apart from the law in ignorance of the purpose of the Mosaic law. So one, at physical birth, Paul was physically alive. Human life was imputed to his divinely prepared soul. He had that nailed down. Two, Paul was aware of his life, but he was ignorant of his spiritual death. Three, the phrase, apart from the law, refers to the fact that awareness of the sin nature did not exist until Paul read and understood the implications of the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. The phrase apart from the law refers to the fact that awareness of the sin nature did not exist until Paul read and understood the implications of the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. Four, it is very difficult for the unbeliever to understand the existence of the sin nature. I didn't till that fella at Young Life Camp read what the sin nature produces. Galatians 5, 19 to 21, he's describing what the sin nature produces in you and through you. It's very difficult for the unbeliever to understand the existence of the sin nature. 5. When the 10th commandment finally came into focus, you shall not lust, that is how Paul, first of all, Paul realized that he sinned. He committed personal sin, that he sinned. That's the first thing, that he sinned. Then Paul puts this all together. Secondly, he realized that the lust motivated those personal sins. From thou shalt not lust. He realized that the lust motivated those personal sins. And then third, he came to the conclusion that the source of the lust is the sin nature. So when the 10th commandment finally came into focus, you shall not lust, that's how Paul went from his personal sins, knowing that he sinned, to the lust that motivated those personal sins, to the source of that lust, the sin nature. 6, as an unbeliever, we commit personal sins because we are spiritually dead. Because we have an old sin nature with lust patterns that motivate us to sin. So as an unbeliever, we commit personal sins because we are spiritually dead, because we have a sin nature with lust patterns that motivate us to sin. 7, we are motivated by the lust patterns of the sin nature to commit personal sins. We are motivated by the lust patterns of the sin nature to commit personal sins. Eight, this is the function of the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of our first marriage, namely, to reveal the source of our personal sins, and the source is the sin nature with its lust patterns. This is the function of the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage, namely, to reveal the source of our personal sins, and the source is the sin nature with its lust patterns. Now, Paul learned that from the Mosaic Law. When I was there at that Young Life camp, Galatians 5:19-21, is teaching the exact same thing. Now, at one time I lived apart from the law, ignorant of my spiritual death, the old sin nature with its lust patterns. But when the commandment came, this is the postpositive conjunction, de, plus the genitive singular of entole with the definite article, plus the aorist middle participle of erkomai. Now we switch. Now the conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast, and you translate it but. And de sets up a contrast between Paul's ignorance of his spiritual death, the sin nature and lust patterns, with his awareness of these things as a result of the 10th commandment. So it sets up a contrast between Paul's ignorance of his spiritual death, the sin nature and lust patterns, with his awareness of these things as a result of the 10th commandment. But, and then the participle erkomai with the genitive singular of entole, and when you have these together, this is a genitive absolute. A genitive absolute. And in the genitive absolute, the noun in the genitive acts as the subject of the verb. And then entole, that's our word commandment. E-N-T-O-L, long E. Entole, referring to the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. And then the verb erkomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, Erchomai. And Erchomai, literally, it means to come, but figuratively is how it's used here. It can mean to be brought into awareness, to be brought into awareness, to come into one's consciousness, to come into one's heart. And of course, it comes into the heart of the believer as the word of God you believed, epinosis doctrine. But when the 10th commandment came, one, perception of the 10th commandment resulted in Paul's understanding of the fact that he had a sin nature with lust patterns that motivated his personal sins. Perception of the 10th commandment resulted in Paul's understanding of the fact that he had a sin nature with its lust patterns that motivated his personal sin. Two, the sin nature was always there. It was there from the moment of physical birth. The sin nature was always there, but Paul was ignorant of its existence until he understood the 10th commandment. The sin nature was always there, but Paul was ignorant of its existence until he understood the 10th commandment. But when the 10th commandment came, see, this is a great chapter on the sin nature all the way through. We're going to learn more and more this sin nature inside and out. But when the 10th commandment came, sin revived and I died. This is the nominative singular of hamartia with the definite article plus the aorist active indicative of anazao, plus the conjunction de with the personal pronoun ego, plus the aorist active indicative of apothenesco. Now, hamartia, and you've heard this again and again and again, most of the time in the scriptures, in the singular, hamartia refers to the sin nature as it does here. And then we have a very rare word, anazao. A-N-A-Z-A, long O. Anazao. This is a very rare word in Koine Greek. Now, it is a compound word. That's point one. It's a compound verb. Ana, again. And zao, to live. So it's a compound word made up of ana plus zao. And at point two, it literally means to live again. Now, the aorist tense now, if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. The sad thing today is, I don't know where the hell you're going to go to prepare for the ministry. It's almost impossible today to prepare for the ministry. Dallas Theological Seminary was a great place to go at the time that I went there. But even the church history prof pointed out to us, every seminary, when it reached 50 years, they went downhill. And that year was the 50th year of Dallas Theological Seminary. And he's the church history prof. And today, Dallas Seminary is kaput. You will not It won't prepare anyone for the ministry at Dallas Seminary. And in California, the different seminaries they have there, why, you get false gospel, false doctrine. And possibly Chafer, I don't have enough to know about Chafer today. Can maybe prepare you and learn the Greek and the Hebrew, learn the languages. But you have to know the languages. If there's a term we call exegesis, exegetical study of the Word of God. And to do that, you study from the Koine Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. Study from the original autographs. God the Holy Spirit, that's what He put down. I have three Bibles up here. They're all translations and they're all different. And they're just translations. They're not the God-breathed scriptures. But the Koine Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, that is. We're living in the dark ages in America. Spiritual dark ages. Oh, there are a lot of churches, and there's very, very little sound, exegetical, doctrinal teaching. Very little. We're living in the dark ages. You just look at America. And we got, there are churches that have thousands, mega churches, thousands of people. My cardiologist, he's a born-again believer. He's a believer. And his family went to one of these mega churches, and he's telling me, my God, what was going on and taught there in that church? He says, and I said, well, Doc, you need to find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church. You need to find that, and you need to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I said, it's hard, it's not easy. And if you can't, because you're a, you know, he's a top cardiologist in Las Vegas. That means he's pretty busy. Well, I said, you can get classes. You can get classes and listen to them. You can get them an email. Within hours after it's taught, I said, you can get these classes. I said, you need to be getting the Word of God. Sound, exegetical, Bible teaching. Hey. I said, I know you're very busy. I know you're very busy. You might not be able to attend face to face. Well, then, this is what you need to do. Now, if you have the gift of pastor-teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And I just don't know where you're going to go to do that today in America. But when you go, and my pastor, Ron Breckel, at Bethany Bible Church, took me aside and said, Dick, when you go to Dallas, you get all the languages you can get. All the Greek, all the Hebrew, all the Aramaic. You get all the languages you can get while you're there. And I had the greatest respect for Pastor Breckel. And he graduated Dallas and taught sound, doctrinal, exegetical Bible teaching. And he was 100% correct. So here you have an aorist tense. This is a good way to show it. An aorist tense. If you want to emphasize the beginning of an action of the verb, that's called the ingressive aorist. ingressive errors, which, by the way, that's what we have here, is the ingressive aorist of anazao. If you emphasize the culmination and the result, that's the culminative aorist. And if you emphasize the entire process from beginning to end, that's the constative aorist. And you go to seminary and prepare for the ministry. And I was blessed to be there when Dr. Phil Williams was there and S. Lewis Johnson were there and head of the Greek department. I was truly blessed. Dr. Phil Williams had his yellow sheets that he put into a folder for all of us. And I took every course I could take from that man. For 4 years, took every course I could take. And when it started out, well, he put down all the different kinds of aorist tense, all the different kinds of present, all the different kinds of perfect, all the different kinds of future, all the different kinds of genitives and nominatives and datives and accusatives. And then he explained how you know which one is the right one. How do you know this? And when we first started out, well, I was wrong 90% of the time. After 4 years, I was right 90% of the time. And I took every course I could take from that professor. He was preparing men for the ministry for sound exegetical Bible teaching, to communicate to believers who have positive volition and humility what God the Holy Spirit is saying here. Not what somebody in a translation or in a book. We got a lot of pastors, they spend all their time reading a book, getting their theology from a book, and crashing and burning in the process. Or now we also got, you don't need to know those things, just use your computer. Well, first of all, I can't use a computer, so the hell with that, you know. What's on the computer? And what have they done to put it on the computer? So this is the ingressive aorist. So point one, anazao is a compound verb made up of ana again, zao to live. Two, it literally means to live again. Three, it means to come to life again, to become alive, to spring to life. Ingressive aorist, the beginning, to spring to life. Four, it also means to come back to life, to take on fresh life, fresh energy, to take on fresh life, fresh energy. Third, it means to become invigorated. Four, it means to be activated, much more active. You're activated, beginning the activation. Five, discovering the existence of the sin nature does not stop you from sinning. Discovering the existence of the sin nature does not stop you from sinning. Six, awareness of the sin nature activates the sin nature with its lust patterns. Awareness of the sin nature activates the sin nature with its lust patterns. Seven, this activation causes mankind to realize that he has a problem. This activation causes mankind to realize that he has a problem. Eight, mankind's marriage to the first husband, the sin nature, results in spiritual death. Mankind's marriage to the first husband, the sin nature, is spiritual death. Nine, therefore, the Mosaic law acts as the marriage counselor, teaching both the bad marriage, Codex number one, and the solution, Codex number two, Jesus Christ, through shadow Christology and soteriology. Therefore, the Mosaic law acts as the marriage counselor, teaching both the bad marriage, Codex number one, and the solution, Codex number two, shadow Christology and soteriology. 10, by understanding lust, one begins to understand the existence of the sin nature and mankind's status of spiritual death. By understanding lust, one begins to understand the existence of the sin nature and mankind's status of spiritual death. 11, awareness of the function of the sin nature results in awareness of one's spiritual death. Awareness of the function of the sin nature results in awareness of one's spiritual death. So, corrected translation, now at one time I lived apart from the law, ignorant of my spiritual death and the sin nature with its lust patterns. But when the 10th commandment came, the sin nature became activated, and that's as far as we went. And then Paul says, and I died. Well, now don't you die. While we take a break, go out and take a break. When you come back, then if you haven't died, I'll shoot you. There you go.